Into the studio, Dave Spadaro, joined by Adam Kaplan here. And Adam, let's talk about a couple of things that are kind of not Eagles-Cowboys related. Okay. The move to release Jason Babin, what that means from a salary cap standpoint, what that means from a football standpoint.
Yeah, and the good thing is, Dave, when you look from the salary cap standpoint, his money's off the books for next season.
Was how much?
I think around $4 million. And you've got the rebate from this season of just under $1.7 million, so that's good. That's good. So they can move that money to next season. But the big thing here, and I know that's what you're alluding to here, is the younger players. I think we could take a look at.
No,
it.
I think the younger players are. We all know.
Well,
that.
Vinny Curry is playing a lot of snaps, and I think he'll play more.
I know that. I'm looking at next year. Okay, here's the thing I want to know.
Yeah.
What is the salary cap situation? It's not. We'll find out during the course of the year if Vinny Curry can play, etc. What everybody's painting this picture is that the Eagles are cash-strapped next year.
They won't be when they make decisions on several contracts here. Okay, Jason Peters' contract, they're going to keep him. That's what we would all think at this point. He has this very small roster bonus, $250,000, which they'll pick up. Demetrius Bell, they'll cut him. They'll save a lot of money under the cap.
Okay.
We just talked about Babin. They got to take a look at Asamoah's contract. Got to figure out how they can make
What are the exact numbers there? You know?
$15.5 million is what they owe him. They've got to adjust that. Vic's contract obviously is going to go, I think.
That's $16 million?
That's me speaking here. I know that they haven't made that decision, but I don't think there's any way that Vic comes back. We'll talk about that in later weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That'll get them right at or under the cap. But trust me, the Eagles are going to be in fine cap shape. And don't forget.
All that and you're only at the cap?
They're going to move. They have around $22.5 million, which they can move all over to next year. You could do that in new CBA. That'll get them a little bit under. And then we'll see on some other players who also have some small roster decisions and where they can clear up more cash. The Eagles will not have a problem in free agency.
Which I who knows how active they would be in free agency anyway.
Don't even know who's out there.
Yeah.
Right.
But Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, what do you do?
Right now, I would not be re-signing Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie based on the way he has played in recent weeks. Now, he's got 5 weeks to get himself together here, as the defense does. But right now, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, to me, has not earned a new deal.
So the way you're discussing it, there's a possibility that the Eagles would go into the offseason with whomever is making all these calls without Rodgers-Cromartie, without Nnamdi Asamoah, without a starting cornerback, a single starting cornerback.
Well, ideally that's not what they want to do, but is there that possibility? Sure. You've got one guy who's not signed, and the other guy's making a lot of money at 32 years old, which he turns next year. So you have to look at it and say, is it worth paying that for a season where he's been very inconsistent?
And they can negotiate that number down if they...
Right. Well, they could try, but he's got to agree to it. And that's the thing about negotiations. One side wants to do something. The other might say, hey, listen, if he doesn't want to take a pay cut, how do you justify, based on this season, bringing back at that cap number?
What's DeSean Jackson's contract situation next year? I mean, situation this year, played pretty well.
Did, played very well.
Injured, done for the year. Is Jeremy Maclin a free agent after, I believe, next year?
Correct.
Another position 13. Where the Eagles have to look and say, where are we going to be long term?
Right. You and I talked on Tuesday's Eagles Live about, you know, fans were talking about the draft, and the only thing I'd said about receivers, there's nothing wrong with getting a guy with size who's a big-time player. And your point was, well, they've invested in Jackson. That's fine, but Maclin does not sign after 13. If you could get a big-time playmaker who's very explosive, I think it's something that you look at.
A lot of decisions to make here, Adam.
A ton. And
who's a keeper that you're looking at on this team?
Who's a keeper?
DeMeco Ryans. What's his cap number?
His cap number's up there a little bit, but I think he's been what they thought he would be. He's been one of the most consistent players on either side of the football. I think he's absolutely a keeper. I think you look at the defense, the D-line, I think Cox is clearly, he's shown me enough, Dave, that he belongs here for the future, and obviously he's signed for a while. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the roster, Kendricks, I think, is a player. I want to see him used a little differently next season, more as a pass rusher. We know he could cover, but use that speed and the physicality brings to his game.
If the Eagles were to go 3-4 next year, do they have enough personnel here to kind of make that
transition? That's the question. I think it's funny you bring that up. I was looking at the Colts defense. They went to a 3-4. No one thought they'd be able to play it. They moved Robert Mathis to outside linebacker, Dwight Freeney. They've actually played pretty well. They've had some injuries, Mathis has. I think Cole might fit in a 3-4. In fact, in 2005 Senior Bowl, when he played outside linebacker, I thought that would be his position. I think he probably could play it. I think Mike Patterson play the nose, and we'll have to see. He has a very small cap number, so I don't see why they wouldn't bring him back. But then you have to ask yourself, where's Fletcher? Could Fletcher Cox, you want to waste his talent at DN at 3-4?
Yeah, I mean, that's just a hold-up position. That's not
exactly.
A pass rushing
now,
position.
Very few, I mean, we've seen over the years, I mean, J.J. Watt's unbelievable for the Texans. Bruce Smith was great in 3-4. Aaron Smith, the Steelers, who's just retired. You won't find a lot of guys as pass rushers at DN at 3-4.
How about offensively? Who's a keeper on this team? I mean, the running backs, LeSean McCoy, Bryce Brown,
obviously.
Your wide receivers are bringing them back. You're bringing back Brent Celek, although I'm sure you'd want to challenge that
position. I think you need, you know, I like Clay Harbor for whatever reason. They just don't get him involved as much as we probably all would like. How about a big-time athletic tight end?
Offensive line, just a certainly
injuries.
A work in progress.
Yeah.
I mean, fluid as can be.
Yeah. You have to see who's healthy.
Nick Foles, what did you see on Monday night now that you watched tape?
I think some of what we saw on the TV tape is there. I thought the footwork was very inconsistent. I thought he had a little trouble driving the football at times. But here's what I like. He plays with a lot of poise. But the mechanics have to be better. He's got to make better decisions. But I think the coaches have to help him here. The offensive line had one of its better games in the last 2 months. Why not let him throw the ball downfield?
Yeah, they're really the routes that the passes he's throwing are just these little. And maybe they're trying to make it simple for him and gradually feed it to him, and I get that.
Possibly, but we're now.
But they're not scoring touchdowns.
Yeah. And the other thing is, if the line's holding up, what is holding him back? Is it mental, or are they not calling it?
Mm-hmm.
That's something we don't know, but from the tape, I thought he rushed himself a couple times where there were some guys open.
Yeah. Bryce Brown. I don't go too crazy over it. I'm certainly impressed.
Yeah.
I wrote this the other day, last night, as a matter of fact, that. There was a time in 2005 when Ryan Moats came in and had a big, big game.
Sure.
114 yards, 2 touchdowns against the Giants. Then the next week, a touchdown, 75 yards against the Rams. And then basically did nothing the rest of his career. And I don't think this kid's like that. He's a big, strong runner. And I'm glad he's going to get a chance on Sunday night to get some carries.
I think when you look at Bryce Brown, I would go back 5-6 weeks ago when it surprised me that he was in on third downs. So I was like, Bryce Brown, well, you know, we don't get into practice anymore, so that meant in pass pro in practice, he was doing a better job.
Yeah.
And the thing, the velocity and power which Withee runs with is just unbelievable. That's something you can't see in practice because they're not getting hit. And I think the comparison to Ben Tate, the second-round pick of the Texans last year, is a great comparison because he's big and physical, and he runs to daylight, which scouts love. And then I love how he finishes off the runs, and he uses his shoulder. But he's so explosive. You just don't see this. He's a seventh-round pick. You just don't expect this. It's a great story.
How much will the Eagles miss DeSean Jackson, and can they get – I mean, to me, this is a real opportunity for Jeremy Maclin to showcase and to be that all-around explosive deep threat that Jackson obviously brings to the table.
And I would go back to those games 3 years ago when it was against Tampa Bay when they used him as a deep threat. Way downfield, and this is something you and I, when we were allowed in practice, would see. We're like, why don't they use him more like this? It's a great point. Demaryius Johnson, he can do a little bit of that.
He's quick, but he's not real fast.
I know,
fast.
He's running after the catch guy, right. But I think you make a good point. It's going to have to be Maclin. But why not use Harbor a little bit as a vertical threat?
This team is just really struggling to catch a break, to score touchdowns, to get a lead, to get things going. Dallas Cowboys in a similar situation.
With injuries.
With the injuries that they've had. How do you see Sunday night, Adam? I know it's going to be a tough game for the Eagles.
The only way that they can win, well, first of all, the discipline has to be way better on defense. Let's say, for argument's sake, it is. And this is a close game. Now you have the issue at center. Who's going to play center?
Yeah.
Could Evan Mathis learn his position in 1 week? I mean, this is a tough deal here. And the line played so well. They absolutely dominated Carolina's front four. And I love the coach's game plan with misdirection runs. Run across the grain. Brown just put his foot in the ground and was able to go. I mean, this actually could be a close game, but if they cannot score 20 points, they're going to lose.
Well, of course.
Dallas could score, Dave.
The most mystifying thing, the most mystifying thing is the way this defense is played. I mean, I don't know if you have any explanation for the plethora
I think,
receivers running free.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think defensively some guys are freelancing. Right now, they don't really have the mental part of it together. When Asamoah is expecting help and this happens almost every week, and he doesn't get it. Somebody's not doing their job. Somebody's not listening.
Is it Nnamdi not going in and making – I mean, I'll tell you, Nnamdi's become really the focal point of criticism for this defense. I'm sure some of it is merited.
It's not all his. Yeah, I understand. But the safety play has been, second half of the season, I don't see deplorable, but it's been pretty bad. Too many mental errors, and then we'll see if a safety
running one way, and the play goes the exact opposite way, is that a mental mistake on the player's side? Is it the coach giving the wrong assignment? I mean, what is it?
I mean, you have to know where that receiver's going, but the problem is, and it plays to your point, this safety clearly thinks he's doing the right thing, so clearly he's either not listening, or the message is not being delivered well enough the way he's accepting it. It's a couple weeks of this is one thing. Mental errors happen. But for the majority of the season, for the safety and cornerback play to be inconsistent, being way too kind. Well below average. Well,
it wasn't like this when Juan was defensive coordinator. They'd given up one or two plays of 40 yards.
There were some plays, and we saw in the Detroit game, okay? We saw in the Pittsburgh game. Just a couple. Now it seems every week there are two or
nothing
three.
Nothing like this.
Yeah. And I was expecting the defense to be more aggressive because I know that's what the Eagles had to do on defense. It's hard to be aggressive when your guys mentally are breaking down every week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Todd Bowles, everyone wants to bash Bowles because the numbers are terrible. Yeah, they're terrible. But when your players clearly either are not listening or are doing their own thing, the message is not being received, and it's just embarrassing watching.
Your view of Babin in Jacksonville and how will they use him?
That surprised me. I thought for sure he'd go to a good team. I didn't think a bad team would claim him, but Jacksonville's desperate. You think the Eagles' pass rush has been disappointing. Theirs is even worse.
Mm-hmm.
They have nobody could rush the passer, really. He's going to have to play. In fact, he's going to dress this week, they said. He'll play. And they're hopeful to get some statistics out of this guy, and now they're not playing a wide nine.
Adam, your opinion, the Giants run away and hide in the NFC East? I mean, obviously,
well, this is a
Monday night
huge game Monday night. Yeah. I mean, you know, the Redskins, every once in a while, could surprise you. They really dominated at Dallas. They're feeling good now. Their defense is starting to play better. They're being more aggressive. They started doing that against the Eagles. I'm picking the Giants to win that game. I just think they're the better team. The Giants dominated the Packers last week. It was just unbelievable. I'll tell you what. The Redskins win this game. It's going to be very interesting to end the season here.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. Adam, trying to get a win here. It's been too long since the Eagles won a football game. 3-8, 7-game losing streak. Beat the Cowboys on Sunday night, and everybody will feel just a teeny bit better. Adam Kaplan, we thank you for joining us in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.